This episode of the Android Central podcast is brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. Save 10% on your entire order by using the coupon code AC10 at checkout.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Android Central podcast. This is episode number 222, I think. I didn't double check. Is that right?
I have no idea.
I only listen to what Phil tells me.
It's what it says at the bottom of the page. So,
it must be right.
Yeah. That's even Phil now. Put that in, and now he's asking. But yeah, whatever.
I usually check first because I don't trust myself. I mean, that's when you grow up as a copy editor, you don't trust anything, especially yourself. Anyway, how's it going? I'm Phil Dickinson. As you can see, those of you watching right there, that's my name. That is me. That is not me. That is me. Hi. How's it going?
I'm ready. We totally need a little cartoon, Phil.
I'm not sure we do.
Yeah, we do. Project for the weekend.
If it's your first time joining us, mazel tov. This is what we do on Fridays. Because, frankly, none of us wants to work past like 3 o'clock, so we do this for an hour or so. And this week we have Andrew Martinick.
Like we do most weeks, but hello.
That's true. Well, thanks for coming. You could have
gone. Yeah, hey, no problem. I'm good.
I was excited for a minute.
That's Jerry, everybody.
Yeah, screw that guy. What's up, people?
Alex Dobie in England.
Hi, I'm also here.
And Russell Holly made it just in time.
Just in time.
I mean, we say that like I didn't control what time we started this thing, but we gave you a couple minutes.
Phil is the lord of time.
I am a time lord. I have a sonic hedgehog or whatever that guy uses. Here come the Doctor Who emails.
Podcast title, Phil's Sonic Hedgehog.
Well, actually, Mr. Manson in episode 4 season 2.
No, see, that's Andrew making fun of the Doctor Who people, not me. Russell, I need to try watching Doctor Who again. When does it get good? I tried watching the first round.
That is a hell of a question.
When does it get good?
You assume that question has an answer.
I tried watching the not early ones, but you know what I mean, like the first round of the re-whatever, and I got through like 5 of them. I just couldn't do it anymore. When do I need to?
Yeah, so like the very first season of the new stuff that they started doing was really slow to kind of pick up. You really could probably get away with skipping that entire season, although I will probably now also get angry emails suggesting such. But that's probably your best bet.
Oh, yeah. You thought this was the Android Central podcast. This is where we just piss off Doctor Who fans for an hour.
Pretty much, yes. Alex at androidcentral.com. That's where you should send your
complaints. Yeah.
So, all right, let's talk some Android. Where you guys? Speaking of complaints, how about that for a segue, boys and girls? I guess we need to talk some more about Lollipop updates because, I mean, it's not that we've been inundated, but we've gotten enough emails and we're starting to get more updates and we're starting to see more crazy things going on with Lollipop, and specifically on the GS5 and on the Note 4. And what's going on?
Some of you people are really angry, and you should probably talk to someone.
Well, this shows you what happens when several hundred thousand potential people get the ability to update the Lollipop in a week. Right? I mean, before this, we didn't have that many people with Lollipop that could have issues, and this is a phone that, you know, had pretty, or a set of phones that have pretty customized versions of KitKat to start with too. So, you know, there are a lot of changes there for a lot more people than previously.
And it's also a case of how different this version is compared to the last version. If you look at last year with maybe the Note 3 going from 4.3 to 4.4, It's less a question of some really fundamental things in Android changing, whereas now you have notifications have completely changed, the lock screen has completely changed, the way interruptions work has completely changed. That's a lot of new stuff that Google controls to a certain extent, but you also need to rely on manufacturers to implement that in a way that makes sense.
How does that saying go? You can have it right, or you can have it quick.
or you can have neither in some cases.
But I think that we pressured manufacturers, and I don't know that that had any effect, but everybody has pressured them to get updates out faster. And this is what happens if they get them out just as fast as possible. It's, I don't know if it's incomplete or if it's buggy or a combination of both, but it just needs work.
And we're seeing more weird things with, I mean, Alex did the post today, and we've been talking about it for a couple days now. Just these, you know, mute works one way on one phone and another way on the others, and it's just weird.
And you want to talk about Android fragmentation, you know. It didn't used to be the case that such a basic function of an Android phone would work totally differently on an HTC phone versus a Samsung phone. You have a situation even with the Note 4 and the S5 where the same phone in different regions will have a fundamentally different way of handling interruptions and you know, volume levels for certain things. So if you go on a European Note 4 right now, you have what I call the worst of both worlds, where you don't have mute, you also don't have easy access to the interruptions panel. You do the same on a Verizon Galaxy S5, you have probably the best of both worlds, you know, overlapping, you know, a regular mute mode and easy access to interruptions. And it's weird that it works that way. And of course, you have differences between manufacturers as well. HTC has done a good job. They kept mute, you know, like we would all want them to. Whereas with the Nexus devices, you just have the basic stock experience where it's just priority all or none. And if you're talking about Android being, you know, together but not the same, or whatever the saying goes, then, you know, do you really want to have things? I mean, the interruption system is kind of confusing to begin with. Do you want it to be so different across the entire ecosystem? I'm not sure that's a good way of handling it.
Yeah, you are, because it's not a good way.
You're sure. You're sure. I mean, look, I'm usually the one who gets yelled at for saying, no, it's fine. It's just different. But this just isn't good.
Well, it's just, like I'm struggling to think with this Note 4 on Lollipop now how I would actually use it on a daily basis and, you know, either mute it or get it into priority mode easily every night. There's just not an easy way of doing that right now. And that's really bad.
Yeah.
There's no answer there. That's just a statement. It's kind of terrible.
How much of that can you put on Google for coming up with a system for muting your phone that is as complicated as it is, giving manufacturers a bit more of a, I don't know, leeway on how they want to deal with it? And then we see somebody like HTC doesn't mess it up at all, actually gets rid of the crappy parts and puts it back to the way it should be. And then Samsung apparently just wants to do it different in different regions.
I think if you want to point fingers at somebody, you have to put the Nexus phones off to the side because Google wants you in the Play Store, period. But Motorola is a great example. They're stock, but they very easily could have left mute in like HTC did and didn't. I don't know why Google does the things they do, but they're always different. I'm a little shocked that Samsung has went this route because you usually count on them to have every option available right in your face, and it's not this time.
You really would have expected them, if anybody, to keep something like that the same as it was on KitKat. I mean, of all the things, you know, Russell did a good write-up of the way that things changed and in many ways have not changed going to Lollipop on an S5. Of all the places where it did not change, that's one where they changed it completely for some users.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not surprised that Google screwed it up or didn't screw it up, depending on your point of view. But OEMs not keeping it the way that they're familiar with and their users are familiar with is a little puzzling.
It still feels just over-engineered to me, I think is the phrase I've used.
I mean, if it was over-engineered on the Nexus line, then it is just way over-engineered on the Note 4 right now. To the point where this key part of Android, this interruption system, is a new feature in Lollipop, is buried behind 6 layers of menus. And, you know, the fundamental parts of the software before, which is, you know, a pretty basic phone function, the ability to mute it, to stop it making noise, is just completely gone. And you got to imagine how many, you know, frustrated customer service calls is Samsung going to get when more people get this update. And they find that, you know, tapping the sound toggle in the, you know, the quick settings thing to switch between sound, vibrate, and mute, and suddenly mute is gone. And that's got to be something tons and tons of people use on a daily basis. And it just seems insane to me that this gets through testing and gets rolled out when it's missing.
So if you work for Verizon or AT&T and are listening, prepare lots of coffee for the days.
Verizon. Verizon's got this on lock. Yeah, I mean, like the Verizon, sound system for the Galaxy S5 is amazing, and I think that that's the most shocking thing about this for me is how wildly different it is for people using international versions of these same devices. We've already had people reach out to me on Twitter, who've had the Galaxy S5 Lollipop, I think in Poland because it got released there first. Completely blown away that the screenshots that I have, they just don't exist on their phone. It's like A/B testing for this sound notification thing, but they're doing it live with actual people,
and they're not taking back the results of the A/B test to fix it later.
See, I'm not even sure it is
with no end result.
So I was gonna say I'm not even sure it is an A/B testing kind of thing. It seems more to me like that. This is Samsung saying, okay, people in certain regions use their phones in different ways, and maybe they're under pressure from carriers to implement things a little differently. But at some point, you've got to stop and just say, let's have a consistent experience across everything.
It would be easier, wouldn't it? Just do it once. Include every way you wanted to handle it. Put your 6-layer deep menu in there as well as the way Verizon's doing it, and just throw it out.
It does seem weird for a Samsung phone for an option to not be there when there are just so many options.
Yep.
We're currently living my worst nightmare. Because I don't know if you guys have noticed, but we're trying to do more of these, helpful posts for, hey, here's how you do this basic thing. Because a lot of people need help with the basics. But when it's different on every bloody phone, how the hell am I supposed to do that?
And I mean, it's the crazy thing is they're the same model, consumer facing model of phone.
Same phone.
Right. It's just the software for the version for a certain part of the world is different, and usually you wouldn't expect things to be this dramatically changed for localization.
And the option I brought up in that post today was the iPhone, right? The iPhone has a physical switch on the side that is as simple as you can get for a way to mute your phone, and it's just crazy across the entire Android ecosystem now that there are so many different ways to mute your phone, or in some cases just no way to mute your phone.
And then I hear Derek screaming somewhere that the Pre also had that.
This goes back long before the Pre. Only one company has ever done this right, and it's Palm, period. Stop. Everybody else does it wrong. Not that it matters anymore because Trios are no more, and
there was just too many cards.
Well, the interesting, really quick, that Alex brings up the iPhone is that physical switch is gone on the latest iPad. So who knows if when their phones get even thinner that the last bastion of physical mute buttons will go away as well.
We'll have to see. I mean, on tablets, it's less of a big deal that you have notifications flying in all the time. You're not you're not going to go to a movie theater with your iPad and quickly have to mute it. So.
Well, what if I need to take a picture of something?
Exactly.
One of the other emails we've tended to get more than a few times the past couple days is people saying all their pictures are gone. Anyone have just a guess as to what? Do you think it's some sort of show-stopping bug, or have things just moved, or what's up?
I don't know. These people who have lost their pictures after the Lollipop update, or just Wow.
I know it's tough to guess at this without seeing them, but
it's only thing you can really say is, there's just so many weird things, you don't know when somebody says, I lost my pictures. Okay. What gallery app are they using? Were they saving them locally? Were they backing them up with an app? Were they putting them on their SD card? Were they swapping their SD card in and out?
Yeah, my short answer to that is you should never have to say, I lost my pictures, because you should always, always, always have them backed up into a cloud somewhere.
You lost one of your copies of your pictures.
Yeah, and hopefully that's the only case, and I doubt it is. I'm sure people have lost pictures, and that's not good.
Oh, I'm sure.
But, thanks, Jerry.
You're right.
I'm trying to be positive.
It could be several things. The first thing I would do is shut your phone off, take your SD card out, turn your phone back on, and then put your SD card back in. See what it does. Maybe your SD card's not mounted. If it was your internal pictures, maybe the update had some weird screwy script that cleared out that portion of your storage. Or maybe they're still in the cloud and you're just waiting for your gallery to sync. I mean, we've had seen that problem before. I don't know. It's something that each individual case could be different.
More inmates have gotten it. G3s are starting to get it. The AT&T G3 got it. The Verizon one doesn't have it yet. That's the one I have here.
Sprint as well, or Sprint is rolling out the G3 update?
Who else? Sony hasn't done any yet, have they?
Sony's due this month. I think I said February, the first batch for the Z3 Compact.
Yeah, I'm not taking that. Still waiting on that. I'm refusing that update.
Motorola still has some more to do too, right?
2013 yeah. Moto X needs it.
I noticed on Motorola.
The Moto G's need it.
The newer updates are the latest code base. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if you've got, you know, like a 2014 Moto X, you might have another Lollipop update coming. Maybe.
Maybe it'll make this phone more usable.
Yeah, fixes a few of the issues. Maybe.
And we still have all this confusion over 5.1 if and when that's arriving. So. Yeah.
Anything else on Lollipop you can think of? It's weird. I mean, I sent Russell the Dell tablet, and I want him to yell about it here in a minute. But as I was switching back and forth between the Nexus 9 and the Dell tablet, I mean, it's weird because the mute thing doesn't bother me at all on a tablet because I just turn notifications off on the tablet. I was perfectly happy with that. So going back and forth between KitKat there and Lollipop on the N9 wasn't as big a deal to me as switching back and forth on the phones. And even the phones is not huge, but it's just a weird time.
Well, I wanted to remind everybody, remember when we first transitioned to Hangouts and there was no way to tell if somebody was online or mm-hmm. and Google said, well, we want to treat it so you can get a hold of anybody anytime and it's up to them when they want to answer you. That might be what they're aiming for with these notifications, too. And we just are resisting the change, and maybe they want you to set up your priority notifications correctly, and maybe they'll relent like they did with the Hangout online indicator. I don't know.
I think the difference there is that mute is just such a basic function of not just every smartphone, but every phone that has ever existed. That if it just isn't there, then you just end up confusing so many people, and you have to, instead of explaining a very basic thing, which is mute, you have to explain something which is kind of complicated, which is this weird system of filters that controls what notifications get pulled down and what sounds get made.
If somebody asks me, how do I mute my phone, and I say, all you have to do is, at that point I've lost them. They're done. They're buying an iPhone. Seriously. Yeah. I mean, that's the conversation I have with my wife, and that's why she's using an iPhone and not Android. Now, I think she can make that switch now better than she could have made it, you know, 3-4 years ago. But it's...
And we're forgetting the people who enjoy doing things like setting up a priority notification list.
For you and me, it's... And our brains work that way. Our brains...
Oh, but even I don't want to micromanage which people come through on priority notifications and yep. when I need to switch back and forth. And I don't ever need to, even as somebody who understands how this all works, I don't ever need to worry about whether or not my phone is actually muted or whether or not I'm getting notifications that I need to get. And that's a situation that currently happens, and that's not okay.
I love the current system on my Moto X.
Quiet, Russell, you're wrong.
You're incorrect.
It hasn't bothered me for a single day, and I hear you guys constantly railing this thing, and I usually just kind of, you know, stay in my little corner and not, you know, not worry about it.
Because pet your Moto X.
Because you're not wrong that explaining this to normal folk is not ideal. You're not wrong there, but I, you know, the none option works perfectly fine for me. The priority notifications, it took me 5 minutes. To you know, set things up. It really wasn't, you know, it wasn't like a hassle or anything. It happened when I got the update, and it took me a couple of seconds. And you know, I, having recently switched to this Dell Venue 8, it was weird not having it after having used the Moto X for as long as I have. So I'm going to assume for safety's sake that I'm the weird one here, but
nope.
But I definitely don't mind it.
I think maybe I could almost be fine with it if it let alarms through. That was when it really hit home for me. I was like, well, why is that alarm not going off? Like, I cannot trust having that scheme when I'm on the road. I just can't. I can't trust that I haven't accidentally left it on none all night long because I want it to be quiet and I can actually get some sleep and then have the alarm go off like it's supposed to.
Well, that's why you use priority. And if Jerry calls in the middle of the night, you want your phone to ring because he's going to have something really cool and fun to say. I agree with Russell. I use air quotes in my mind when I say they got it wrong because that's something, you know, that you have to decide for yourself. I completely understand why Phil doesn't like it, and Phil might not want to take the time to sit down and, all right, who do I want on my priority list? Check, check, check. But to me, that was something I did before anyway and had to use a third-party app to do. Now I don't.
Well, we're not going to solve it today.
Nope.
Unfortunately. Though we should.
Well, the option still needs to be there to please both of us.
I think so. I really do.
You simply just need to include a basic mute function that worked in the way that it used to work and right. Then leave the other stuff there, and that's fine. You're done.
Let's do some Q&A.
I hope all the questions are about notifications on Lollipop.
Yeah. That would be...
should we just start at the top? Kevin wants to know, is it worth buying a Google Watch within the next month or so, or should I just wait a few more months to see if any newer versions or manufacturers put out anything better than the current offering?
When you're
better
saying,
is always happening.
Something better right. is always coming.
When you're saying a few more months, I mean, that's quite a long time that you could be enjoying the watch that you buy and have tomorrow, but... I mean, a few more months is definitely the time period where we're coming around in a year, from the announcement of the original G Watch and Gear Live.
I don't think we really know of anything that's on the horizon in the way that we had for a lot of last year when the big thing people were waiting on was the Moto 360. We're not really, there's nothing there that would tempt people away from the current crop of watches, is there really?
I mean, we've heard a few things, right?
Swatch.
I think, was it Asus or Huawei? One of the Asian companies somebody said was coming out with some new stuff soon, maybe.
Huawei, yeah.
ACC is still rumored to do a non-Android Wear watch at MWC. And I know nothing about that. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. I don't know.
But we don't even have announcements on that, even, let alone information on the actual watches. So
you might not have to wait quite as long as you're fearing, but I wouldn't go buy one right now if you're on the fence. I would wait till after MWC, see if anything comes out there.
I mean, we're talking about a $250 to $300 purchase. I mean, for a lot of people, that shouldn't be, a snap decision, so I understand why you want to wait. Why spend a couple hundred bucks on something if you're not anywhere near sure that you're going to actually want it and use it?
Mm. Look at what it can do. And if it does enough that it's worth your $200, buy one.
But you do sometimes get caught in the trap that people get with, caught in with smartphones, where there's always something better on the horizon. If you just keep waiting, then you never buy anything.
And James asks about something else I wanted to talk about. With a disappointing Android Wear sales for last year, what do you think that Google will need to pull out of the bag at I/O?
Stop.
Exactly. Exactly. In fact, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will Russell and I will tackle that because we feel like yelling, don't we? Are you going to yell?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Prepare yourself. Gird your loins. We'll be right back. Usually when you talk about sleep disruption, you're talking about droopy eyes and nodding off in the middle of a meeting. But Casper is disrupting sleep in a good way. Now, Casper is an online retailer of obsessively engineered mattresses at a shockingly fair price. Casper's mattresses provide resilience and long-lasting supportive comfort thanks to their unique hybrid model. They use a premium latex foam along with memory foam to give it just the right sink and bounce so you'll get a good night's sleep. And the price is right, too. Mattresses can often cost well over $1,500. But Casper mattresses run between $500 for a twin size, $750 for a full size, $850 for a queen size, and just $950 for a king size mattress. And Casper takes the hassle out of mattress shopping with a risk-free experience. In fact, statistically speaking, lying on a bed in a showroom for just a few minutes doesn't really help you figure out if it's the right bed for you. But Casper has free delivery and returns within 100 days of purchase, so you can try it out without any worry. Sleep on it for 99 days, and if it's just not right for you, return it free of charge. And it really is that easy. I had the mattress delivered to me faster than I ever would have expected. I didn't have to have someone else lug it inside. I just opened the box, put the Casper mattress on the bed, and let it do all the work. No salespeople, no waiting on a delivery truck. It was there when I got home, on the bed in a few minutes, and put to good use not too long after that. So give Casper a try today. You can get $50 toward any mattress purchase by going to casper.com/AC, that's CASPER.com/AC, and use code AC at checkout.
By the way, I just want to point out that Russell has a tablet in his shirt pocket. How
I noticed
that.
I ran in from the other room.
Look at that.
It was still there.
For those of you not, for those of you not watching the video, it's pretty amazing, actually. Russell is 10 feet tall.
It doesn't mean if anyone tries to assassinate him, the Dell tablet's going to take a bullet from
it. It will take a bullet. That's right.
We're not indemnifying anybody there.
Eight inch tablet in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
That's exactly.
Very.
All right, so let's talk Android Wear for a minute. That analyst firm, was it Canalys, I believe it's called?
Yeah.
Came out with a piece saying 720,000 Android Wear watches were sold in the first 6 months of its existence. And depending on who you write for, you either looked at that number and said, okay. Or you looked at that number and said, Android Wear is a failure. Nobody's bought these things.
I mean, my first response when I saw that, you know, the headlines come out, I was like, all right, that's, you know, a handful of months, 720,000. Like, that's a lot more than I thought that they had sold.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
I did not seem like that outrageous either one way or the other. It seemed like a really reasonable number.
I think it totally is. And Kevin Toefel from GigaOM totally beat me to this editorial, so I linked his up because it was a really good piece. In fact, I asked this on Twitter immediately. How many was Google supposed to sell? What is a good number there? Because if you don't know, I mean, that could be right on target for what they expected to sell. It could be above. It could be below. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. So there's that. There's the fact that only two of the watches were actually available all 6 months. That would be the boring G-Watch.
And they're the least desirable ones.
Yeah. That would be the boring G-Watch and the G-Watch R. Or G-Watch R, sorry. And the Samsung Gear Live, right?
Which were also heavily suppressed by marketing hype for the Moto 360.
Yeah. So keep that in mind. I need to find my piece here because I don't quite remember dates. Moto 360 first became available in September, but even then it was pretty hard to get for a lot of people. It sold out pretty quickly.
You're talking 3 months of sales there.
Yeah. G-Watch R and the Zen Watch came out in November, I believe it was. So, I mean, two-thirds or something came out in October, too. I forget. I think G-Watch R was October, maybe. Half of the watches we're talking about were only available for half of the time we're talking about. So,
and only half of those we were ever going to recommend you buy in the first place.
Yeah. I'm thinking, yeah. You got to keep all that stuff in context, right?
Phil,
part of the problem is we don't know the context. Yes, Jerry.
Why do I care about the 719,999 watches that I didn't buy?
I don't think you do.
That's it. If you bought one and you like it, who cares?
Yeah. I get it from an analysis standpoint. I think it's interesting. It's cool to have this estimate of how many things are out there. I think that's important to have. I don't think we can yet say that it's, you know, a failure or a success.
I think we can say it's a success. There's actually an interesting number that it can be compared to, and it's weird that this kind of hasn't happened. You know, Pebble just got done announcing that they had sold their millionth watch as of December 31st of last year, which means that Pebble had finally been shipping for almost a full 12 months. I think it was like 11 and change, and sold 1 million watches or...
Even longer than that. They started shipping, I think it was like January 2013.
Almost a couple of years, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, just shy of 2 years.
So 2 years. It took them 2 years to do a little tiny bit more than Android Wear did in 6 months.
And there's another half of that sentence. You're talking about a watch that's available on the iPhone and Android.
And is half the price. It's half the price and got ridiculously hyped through Kickstarter well before Android Wear was even announced.
And again, that's not to say that Pebble's not good. I think it absolutely is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And from what I've heard, there's some interesting stuff coming up. And I know we've all read the stories as well, but I've heard some things that aren't in those stories, and I'm really curious to see what they do next. But yes, so Russell's right. We do have some context there. When you see those stories, you got to remember to look at the numbers and say, all right, but...
How many G1s were sold in the first 6 months, and then we just passed 1 billion active Androids?
Yeah.
And I just don't see how you can really compare it to other fitness-oriented bands and things like that. I mean, that are, again, dramatically cheaper, and it's just they're not comparable products. So I don't see how we have two, the Pebble comparison is the real apt one that we can compare it to right now. Other than that, I don't see how you can take this one data point, which is not even a full year of Android Wear sales, and say that it was some kind of failure if you don't have much to compare it to.
And they did compare it. They compared it to iPhone sales, which makes absolutely sense.
Sorry, you can beep it, but that's ridiculous.
And they lumped it into this 4.6 million, wearables bucket that includes, things like Fitbit and the Mi Band.
And the Mi Band, which is $20.
It's like $13. I went back and looked at our post. Like, there's a lot of apples and oranges going on here. So when you look at
apples
analysis
and watermelons,
so many of those analyst things, it's almost like they don't care what they say. Just spell their names right. That's how I read it.
That's right. They got us to talk about it, so
exactly.
Their work is done.
Exactly.
On to the next.
So, that was our thing on that.
Well, do you think it's a success? I know Russell said he thinks it's a success.
I think it is so far. I think for a first-generation product that's out of the gate, we still don't know what the iWatch is going to do and how well it's going to do. I don't think it is a guaranteed success. I think they've done really well, and especially having gone from the hardware, looking at the original G Watch. I'm wearing the Zen Watch now. Actually, I want to answer a question I just saw a minute ago. Where'd it go? Ashish is asking, should I buy the Moto 360 with $50 off promos? It's still a good deal, or should we expect better, newer models anytime soon? Yes, something new is always coming soon. I switched back to the 360 for a little while. Just, it'd been a while since I wore it, and I put the leather back on it because I wasn't feeling the metal bracelet on it anymore. And I switched back to the Zen Watch. I know I've talked to these guys offline and stuff. I was having issues with one of them. I've got a couple 360s here, and I was having issues with one of them with, I think, Bluetooth. But the Zen Watch just feels like a smoother experience. It's a different experience. But for me, I'm completely comfortable with our picks for the top three watches now. Completely comfortable putting the Zen Watch at number one, the G Watch R at two, and the Moto 360 at three. I think they were all, three really good choices. But, yeah, I just don't think the 360 is the top one anymore.
Nope. And, it's also worth, keeping in mind that none of us are saying that Android Wear is perfect. I mean, there's still tons that needs to be done as far as this platform goes. But out of the gate, I mean, I'm certainly surprised.
And I think that they convinced that many people to give it a try. I think that's a pretty, for something that's completely unknown and didn't have much of a competing product or the market hasn't really been established for that. And they convinced that, several hundred thousand people that, you know, that was a choice they wanted to make. Now, the interesting thing will be, what is the upgrade cycle like? You know, do people buy a new smartwatch every year? Do they buy one every 2 years? Do they choose to go back to an analog watch? You know, that's going to really impact the sales in the next year.
We'll see.
And you have to go back to where Android itself was in its first year on phones and think, where are we now compared to then? And, you know, how different the system is now and how different the way we use our phones is now. And I think that will give you an idea of how things are going to develop in the future and, you know, just how young this product category is and how young Android Wear is in the grand scheme of things.
Really, really early still. If you don't see anything you like yet, no, wait. There's definitely stuff coming. It's my short version of that, I think. Let's see. Back to the questions. I want to do some more questions. Anybody?
Joel said, did you hear about help out sending? We did hear about help out sending. And I'm sad but not surprised.
It was a nice idea, but helping people is not cheap or easy.
And dang, they really didn't. I feel like they did not push that hard.
I don't think very many people wanted to participate either. It takes a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And it was mostly a volunteer situation, and people just don't have that time.
It's tough. I mean, I see how hard the guys work in our forums, and it's not easy at all. It was a good idea. It's a really cool idea. But, Ooh, here's a good one from Ryan. Is checking your smartwatch during a conversation just as rude as pulling your phone out mid-conversation? After being a smartwatch owner for over a year, it seems almost more rude. Yeah, I completely agree.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I've looked down at my watch like really casually and tried to been kind of concealed about it, and people have been like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, are you in a hurry to get somewhere? Whereas if I pull my phone out, they just immediately know what I'm doing.
Or, I mean, it's almost worse because it's sitting there buzzing on your wrist. And, I mean, even if you don't check it, it's still going off. Now you can mute it now and stuff, and that's good. But I don't always do that. I don't always remember to do that. At least now I can, you know, apologize and turn it off real quick. But I remember it must have been last fall because we had the watches. It might have been the Pebble going off too. I don't remember. But I remember having a conversation with my wife's boss, and you know, he's taking time out of his day to hang out and ask questions about, really ask questions about Android Central, and because they were starting this new media entity. So I'm talking to the guy, and my wrist is just because it's probably Yahoo's chatting or something. And he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, do you have to go?" And that's exactly what he said. I'm glad mute is there now and in a good way. Well, I mean, it was there before.
If I'm out at dinner or something with somebody and they start checking their phone or their watch, I stop talking and start texting them just to get the point across. That's horrible. Don't do it. Don't do it at all.
You know what I want? I can't remember if I mentioned this. You know how I know Motorola does it. I'm trying to remember who else does. Maybe if it's baked into Google now. But Motorola will look at your calendar and say, all right, you're busy. Yep. You have an appointment right now. We're going to, you know, mute your phone for you, whatever. I would love to see that for the watch.
But done a little bit easier to manage.
The way that it's done with Motorola does mute your watch.
Yep.
Does
it? Yep.
Because notification priority is synced between your watch and your phone.
There you go.
It does the same thing.
And it's a separate argument as to whether that's actually something that you would want, right?
Right. I mean, I started totally running into that. I use my calendar for a lot of things that aren't actually one-on-one meetings.
Yep.
You know, and I don't need my watch to be silenced for that half hour that reminder is going on.
And there are times where you would want one silence but not the other. You want different behavior on your wrist to the phone that is in your pocket.
I just fixed your notification issue, Phil.
What's that?
A recurring calendar event called sleeping, and use the Moto X. And your alarm will still go off, and your phone won't beep at night.
Well, that's just... Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Motorola can handle that on its own with the Motorola operating.
And I think I'm about to be busy with some other phones. I'm already busy with other phones.
But that's just all this stuff can be done. The ability to do all that kind of stuff is built into Android. It just needs somebody to come forward and do it correctly.
That's not, yeah. Yeah. No. 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 A lot of question about what I should buy today. Interesting.
Yeah.
Joel wants to know, lifespan for wearables, every 2 years to replace a smartwatch like smartphones, or should it be longer? No, I don't think it should be longer.
That's when the way you kind of run up against the longevity of what, you know, a traditional watch versus a smartwatch. The product cycle, you know, the refreshes for smartwatches have generally been really quick, like much, much quicker than even smartphones for the past year or so, to the point where you'll get a new one every 6 months or so. And if you look at that compared to where you would traditionally be with a piece of jewelry, it's, you know, that would last years or even decades, then it's, you know, you have these two things pulling in different directions. And that's something that will have to be resolved, I guess. If you want something that is really nice that you maybe spend thousands of dollars on, you're going to have to come up with a solution to the problem where you bring technology into the equation, that becomes, loses value very, very quickly over time and becomes deprecated within a year or so.
It's also worth keeping in mind that watch people typically own more than one watch. And that's something that is probably going to become a thing for a certain group of Android Wear users. You know, are the devices that get worn for day-to-day use versus the devices that get worn for specific occasions. And so there are going to be folks out there who are going to want multiple kinds of watches. You know, people who wear the Sony style band when they're, you know, out doing something where the device could, you know, take damage in some way, versus people who are just kind of walking around town.
As unfortunately, it stands right now, that's exactly what I would recommend, just because Sony has the built-in GPS.
Yep.
And well,
the problem is that the Android Wear app doesn't handle switching phones and switching between watches on a regular basis all that well. It's a little messy to switch watches.
All that well? It's horrible.
Yeah. I mean, it's doable, but it's not like hit settings, okay, now I want to use this watch, which, you know, that's something they're going to have to think about, because I think Russell's spot on there.
What else were we going to talk about this week? Andrew was at Xiaomi yesterday in San Francisco.
That I was. And then back in Seattle that night, so that was
what
fun.
What did you do, Andrew?
We basically
like asking my kids when they get home from school, how was school? What did you do?
It was okay.
Stuff.
Xiaomi introduced itself to the U.S. basically. They obviously have had a huge presence elsewhere in the world, but they invited a bunch of press, including us, to come, you know, kind of hear their story. Hugo Barra was there, who, you know, does a lot of their software and experience stuff, and Bin Lin was there, who's one of the co-founders and is very involved in a daily basis. And they basically brought us up to speed on, you know, the last handful of years from Xiaomi, because, you know, while we're somewhat into, you know, this world, and so we know what they're mostly about, a lot of people don't know anything about them, and so they brought us up to speed on MIUI, which is their interface, and, you know, kind of what their customer base is like, you know, who they appeal to, how their company is run in general, you know, what their philosophy is. And, you know, it opened my eyes a little bit to a lot of what they're all about. You know, I didn't know a lot of the specifics of how they operate. You know, none of us live in China or Southeast Asia, so we don't, you know, we don't have our finger on that kind of that pulse. But Xiaomi is a very big deal in very specific number of markets, and I think that, you know, I'm not sure how much weight to put on it from a Western perspective, though. So I think that they're still, I mean, they said that they're still a long way from bringing phones to Western Europe and the US and Canada and, you know, and for the rest of South America and things like that. So I'm not sure how much time to spend on thinking about, you know, where they fit in the scheme of, you know, the phones that we usually cover, but in the global scheme, it's kind of hard to ignore the numbers that they're putting up.
Our pal Ryan asks in the Q&A, can Xiaomi break into the US market at Samsung, LG, HTC, Motorola levels, or will they be just as niche as Sony, or even just a prepaid player? What will it take?
I don't think it's a question of market share or anything like that. It's the thing that's going to stop them from selling phones in the US is the fear of being sued by Apple, because so much of their stuff is so similar. You think back to where Samsung was maybe a few years ago, and there are so many parallels you can draw between the way Xiaomi designs its stuff and the way Apple does. And you've got to imagine there will be some kind of legal issues if they were to launch in the US or Western Europe right away, which is surely has to be why they're shying away from those markets for the time being.
I mean, I think that that's definitely a part of it. And of course, I think every other question or more was about intellectual property and how they think that they're going to handle it. And of course, they're going to say that they think that they have original ideas and they have thousands of their own patents every single year. But yeah, those issues are real. I don't think that you could look at a Xiaomi phone and say that it doesn't have a lot of very similar design cues and thought processes as iOS and just Apple in general. But I don't think that that's their biggest issue. They have issues with localization for their software and hardware, which is very much tailored to an Asian audience. And that, which of course works for them when they sell their phones in Asia. So they have to, you know, they have to come here and think about how they're going to handle their e-commerce. You know, they only sell phones directly. They don't sell phones through retail partners. They don't sell phones through carriers. They have their own warehouses, their own shipping, everything. And that would be something that they have to completely recreate in the US. They would have to completely recreate in Europe. And that's a massive undertaking. They have to start getting all their devices certified to run in the U.S. and run on U.S. Markets or U.S. carriers in this market. That's another huge undertaking. All these things are potentially a lot larger of an economic burden on them than potentially getting sued by Apple. And those things would all have to come first before they sell a phone and then get worried about getting sued.
And that begs the question, why hold an event in San Francisco so far out?
Right, so...
Well, I mean, didn't they build this from the beginning as a, like, hey, just come hang out, get to know us, sort of thing?
So, you know, they said from the beginning, we're not going to make any announcement about our phones coming to the U.S., and go figure, they didn't do that. What they did do is say that they are going to bring, you know, their brand to the U.S. They're going to open their store to sell accessories, you know, power banks and headphones and little things like that that are, you know, inexpensive and easy to just ship directly from China and don't require any additional certification or anything like that. And that's going to introduce the name that nobody's going to be able to pronounce to the US and hopefully, you know, gain a little bit of traction down the road. If they do decide to bring their phones and tablets here, at least it's not going to be completely a dark brand. No, I just think that there are plenty of ways Xiaomi can handle coming to the US, and I think all of them require a lot more time than people want them to be on, a longer timeline than people want them to be on. When they just came to India with another billion people that they can sell phones to, while they continue to have billions of people available in China that they can sell phones to. So why do they need to come chase after the US is basically my feeling on it. I just, they can be an extremely, you know, successful phone maker, tablet maker, electronics conglomerate without selling a single device in the US.
I think you mentioned go ahead.
You mentioned the pronunciation issue is always Xiaomi, and I guess Huawei has the same problem as well. Mm-hmm. This is maybe what they're trying to address, Huawei, I mean, with the Honor brand that they're bringing out in Europe and the US. And if you look at, you know, a lot of the Asian manufacturers will have this issue, and if they want to get on the same footing as a Samsung or an HTC, then that is going to have to be something they address sooner or later, because if you want your brand to, you know, brand awareness to be spread by word of mouth, you have to have something that is just easier for the target audience to say.
Right. I mean, that's basically just an example of the issues with localization that Xiaomi is going to have. I mean, I'm not sure if, I mean, they seem to be really tied to the identity that their name, you know, their name represents to them. And so I'm not sure if they would ever undertake, you know, having a separate brand. Or if that was, you know, I think that that may be a good idea. I mean, we've seen ZTE is basically just let the carriers brand their phones, even though it says ZTE on the back, because they know that that brand and their logo doesn't really carry much weight here. So I'm not sure if Xiaomi would go that direction or not.
Let's take one more break, then we'll do some more Q&A, maybe. Talk about a couple more things. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe I'll just leave. Maybe we won't come back. Only one way to find out! Working out of a cubicle day in and day out can be tough enough, and the last thing anyone wants to do is deal with a dated and clunky corporate intranet. That's why there's Igloo! Igloo software is an intranet that you, and most importantly your employees, will actually like. It's built with easy-to-use applications. It's got file sharing, blogs, wikis, it's got a shared calendar, task management, social integration, all that stuff. Igloo basically is everything you need to work together better in a single configurable cloud platform. Plus, Igloo has responsive design, so your intranet will already work on every device that's in your pocket or on your desk. Android, iOS, BlackBerry, Windows, done. And it's because it's HTML5 compatible, you're getting the power of the web that you're used to, not some watered-down version for office use. And that means everyone's going to get more work done. You can easily review a document from the coffee shop, or post a project update from the airport, or check and see how many vacation days you have later in the year while your toes are still in the sand. So if your company has a legacy intranet that looks like it was built in the dark ages of the 1990s, it's time to give Igloo a try. Sign up now for free at igloosoftware.com/android and give it a go. That's igloosoftware.com/android. One of you guys mentioned something else earlier you wanted to talk about, and I forget what it was. I didn't write it down because it was that important to me. No, because I'd already...
Is it Mute and Lollipop?
No.
Are you sure? Because I feel like we could cover that.
Here it is. Oh, it was. No, Alex, we right. mentioned the Sony Xperia Z3C Z-Thread Charlie.
Did I? Yeah. What about I want to mention that.
Best phone ever.
Oh, we were talking about it floating off of tables.
What is the Z3C? Or did you mean compact?
I did. I was just talking about... I don't think it was for the podcast. We were just talking about how it kind of floats across tables like the Nexus 4.
Right. We were discussing air hockey.
That's not news. It's been doing that since October.
That's what happened when you guys crossed the streams.
I wanted to talk about the Viewmasters.
Oh, yeah! Google Mattel today... unveil the new ViewMaster. That is, listen, if you're not, you know, closing in on 40, you probably have no idea what we're talking about. But these are these awesome toys. I mean, you've seen Google Cardboard. By the way, I finally brought mine up from my car. You know, these were like old school big plastic things that you held right here in front of your face, you know, on your eyeballs, and they had a little plastic, you know, film disc that you put in there, and you flip a little lever to go through each frame. They were awesome. I think I had a He-Man one, and I don't remember what all I had, but dude, God, I love those things.
I think I wore out the Serengeti one about 5 or 6 times and had to rebuy it. It was cool.
So this is going to be cool. Yeah, I mean, how's it going to work now? It's not like, obviously, it's not like Gear VR. It's not all plugging in totally, right?
No, it's still, it's Google Cardboard in a ViewMaster-shaped container. You still put your phone in. And you know, you hold the container up to your eyes, but they still have these little discs.
Yep.
And they still are required. Like, you're going to have to buy the little discs in order to get the added content from the ViewMaster software. But I don't think we know exactly how they work yet. Maybe I missed that.
I can see my kids loving this. Like, I don't want to stick my kid in front of a Gear VR. That's just a lot of stuff, but this is pretty cool.
I don't know if it would adjust small enough for their heads.
That's true.
I want to find a way to make my own little discs for this thing. Would that be an awesome way to look at your vacation pictures?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Or no. I'm not sure.
or, you know, any kind of pictures.
I'm still waiting for Google to make a convenient way for someone to take a photosphere and make it so that it can be viewed in Google Cardboard. That seems like a obvious thing.
That's they did it with Street View.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite features that kind of died on the vine a little bit. And it I mean, there's still obviously the community and Google Plus and stuff, but man.
And yeah, most of the major manufacturers behind it right now, they call it different stuff, but it still basically just saves a photosphere, and you can do that across Samsung, HTC, LG, Nexus, and pretty much everything else.
And they all started to get really good at it and actually do it better than Google did, yeah. I thought. Yeah, somebody needs to do that. I want to go take one now. I was out shooting this morning with the...
just takes so long to take one. Yeah. If you want to do it right.
And it takes a level of skill to get it without just a tiny little imperfection, which is going to drive a lot of people crazy. You got this great picture, but right in the middle there's a line with somebody's foot.
Yeah, and I have to say most of the ones I see shared online are hastily done and poor.
Or you see a lot of people who did them professionally, like with a real camera, and then dropped them together, and they look too perfect, which...
And then you just say, hey, man, get out of here with your crazy equipment.
I hate to say that because they really do look good and it's really cool, but it's not the same. I worked for mine, damn it.
I turned around and looked like an idiot holding up a phone, spinning around in circles.
Now I kind of want to go out with a tripod and see if it's actually better. I assume it would be, but
yeah,
I need to know.
Josh in the Q&A is pointing out that Exposed for Lollipop is now out in alpha.
I'm sorry. I should not have laughed that long.
Tell us how you really feel. For those who don't know, Russell, now you have to tell the class what is Exposed and why is this a big deal.
I don't actually think you want me to give this explanation, but all
right. Oh, yeah, we do.
Give the explanation you think I might give.
Exposed is a platform that lets Android hackers, and I use that term as friendly as I know how, to build their own modules that can add features onto an existing Android device. It usually requires a pretty decent amount of skill, but you can do some kind of crazy things, like, for example, adding mute onto a phone would be something that you'd be able to do through an Exposed module. But it is more often than not stupid dangerous and puts your phone at risk.
What, you mean I shouldn't trust somebody I don't know to write software that I download outside of Google Play that has complete control over my phone?
No, that's not what I said at all, Jerry. Pay attention. Come on.
Yeah, but somebody did just say that this week, actually. That's a very good point. Russell did a nice Q&A with Google's Adrian Ludwig. If you haven't read it yet, you totally should, because it talks a lot about what we've been talking about the past few weeks about security and virus stuff. And, I mean, really just kind of confirmed everything we've been saying, right? Like, yeah, you probably don't need these apps. You know, just
there's some really basic best practices to follow.
Back to the Exposed stuff, I was mostly joking. I mean, you leverage the strength of the community and don't install something you've never heard of and you'll be fine.
Right.
There have been some really cool things that have come from Exposed in the past, and I suspect that with Lollipop we will actually get a couple of neat things from Exposed. And if you know what you are doing, I can't stress this enough, if you know what you are doing and you have not tried Exposed before, then it's probably something cool to mess around with on a phone that you don't mind blowing up. If you are going to read 3 tutorials before you give something a try and not really understand what it is that you're trying, please don't. Just seriously don't.
I thought it was funny how many people were yelling at us because none of us used icon packs last week when we showed our home screens.
And, you know, the answer that I gave still stands. If someone releases an icon pack that covers all of my icons, be happy to use it. But every time I go to try one, they look neat. I think that there are some very clever artists in the Android community who have done some really neat icon packs. But they don't work for half of the apps that I have on my phone. And as soon as that illusion is broken, where it goes back to the regular icons, I stop caring.
Why do I have to use it? I mean, is it fine that I don't, though?
I don't spend all day staring at the icons on my phone. I don't care what they look like.
I mean, I think some are better than others. I was surprisingly okay with the Huawei ones, actually.
Really?
I kind of like them, yeah. Those kind of... surprisingly.
Yeah, they just look kind of terrible. Yeah.
Just saying. I'm allowed to like different things.
The medium ones are similar,
too. Do you want me to ruin those icons for you forever, Phil?
Okay.
If you look at the icons for Chrome and for Hangouts, they're actually the old versions that are preloaded on there, and they stay around regardless of whether you update the app or not.
See, but I don't even remember what they look like, so I'm fine.
Once you see it, you can never unsee it.
Yeah, once you see it, you'll know what they used to look like.
Well, the Android Central one looks a little weird because it gets this weird green background. But
yeah, the whole backgroundy thing is the weird part.
Yeah, that's probably like my number one or number two gripe with the way Huawei does software. Like, they just
add this extra layer of color and put it behind it.
It just doesn't really work, and no other manufacturer really does it, and it just seems it looks odd to me. I don't know, I just don't like it.
Flipping through the Q&A again, anybody see anything they like?
There's a lot of questions now, so.
Ooh, Ben brings up a good point. I was thinking about this today. It's about time for another awesome contest over there. I agree. Completely agree.
You should read the rest of the sentence that is about things that I like.
Philips Hue.
I do love me some fancy light bulbs.
Should we give away something like that? I think we should. That's a good idea. I want to start making sure we do more big contests. So I'm going to think about that this weekend. We'll see what we come up with. Actually, I'll just say it now. Yeah, we'll give away some connected lighting stuff. How about that? You heard it here first.
Now I'm excited. Figure
out how to do it. That's the hard part. Contests are always a lot more work than you think.
Josh says my video feed is looking great today. Thank you, Josh.
It is. Well, you have like those 5 million megabits.
Does it look any different than usual, though?
I don't know. I don't look at you that close.
Maybe it's because I shaved the beard off. It's all clear now.
That's not a beard.
It was.
This is a beard.
Mine was all one color, Phil.
Daniel, I'm distinguished. Daniel asks, I want to know how much time I need to wait before I enjoy Project Volta on the battery, or is it instantly? We've talked about this before, but
I just don't think that actually exists as a thing that materially will affect your battery life.
That'll never get you invited to Google I/O.
I was thinking about this as I was on the train on the way home from the airport yesterday after a long day, and my phone was down to like 8 or what? It hit the battery saver level. It was 15%, and I turned it on, put it in my pocket, took out my tablet, and 2 minutes later it hit 15%, and I turned battery saver on. And 30 minutes later, they were both dead. And, it hasn't actually affected battery life for me.
The problem there is Google never billed it as some magic new update to your operating system with a big Volta icon that makes everything magically better.
No, you know who did?
I don't know. I'm not going to name names, but a lot of people did and shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Google said it's new tools that developers can use to make their apps use less battery.
It's mostly background processes, isn't it? It's not necessarily you're going to get a bunch of extra battery life out of your phone while you're using it, while it's awake, while the screen is on.
Absolutely.
It's about making sure when it's in your pocket and background tasks are taking away that it handles that in a sensible way.
It's what you get when you give things cool code names and let bloggers talk about them. I mean, that's what it is.
Yep.
It's a good tools for developers.
I think people combined it with Project Butter, which Project Butter was something that was immediately noticed. And now this is another project, but the project has different implications.
What do you think about the Apex Launcher adding a Feeling Lucky app that suggests games to download? People are pretty angry about it. I saw some on that this morning. Don't use the launcher if it bothers you that much.
Boom. Headshot.
I mean, I get why somebody would think that's a little spammy. I also get how that's not an illegitimate way to make money.
I think you can use another launcher if you don't like it.
Yeah.
Yep.
There are lots of them out there. I mean, I get that people are going to be mad about it, but those are your options. You can either sit there and be mad or, vote with your wallet. Don't use the launcher.
Go back and change your rating to 1 star and type in all caps about how you hate them.
I guarantee you developers see those ratings. I see them on the AC app because I check at least once a day.
I'm assuming that Apex hasn't seen a great conversion rate on paid pro versions of its launcher.
There are a lot of really good launchers out there. It's fun to think how far they've come.
You know, back to that I'm Feeling Lucky app, I like that idea and hate that idea at the same time. If they would include that as an option, hey, I've got an app here, you can just press it and get a random link to a new app or game. I would play with that all the time just to see what it did, but I would not want it installed by default. So I can see why a lot of people are mad that it just gets thrown in there.
We went around a little bit internally with this. Was it last week, the week before, when OnePlus announced that it was going to load SwiftKey, the latest ROM is SwiftKey, and there's one other thing they're doing. I forget what. And I think Max Derek Audio. Max Audio, yeah. And I think Derek in the headline, you know, he specifically said bloatware. And he was probably right, I guess. I mean, if it's a, but at what point is a preloaded app not bloatware, right? Is it only bloatware if you don't like it?
Nope.
And what if it's integrated into the system?
Is it not bloatware? Right. How is it any different than any other preloaded application?
Like the ones from Google.
What if I don't use them?
Right. I mean, there are
lots of Google ones I don't use that are preloaded on there.
I mean, I said it a long time ago when Google Earth was preloaded on phones. I thought that was a little ridiculous. Now, first, you know, there's bloatware. Right. I mean, there's bloatware and then there's bloatware. And it's not even necessarily about whether I use it or whether I like it. I mean, God, let me go through the list.
I would be willing to bet that more people use Verizon's Caller ID app than use Google Play Newsstands.
Probably.
Oh, gosh, by a mile.
So which one is bloatware?
Both are, but
exactly.
I have a lot of apps.
It was funny because I was doing this safe mode article for the Note 4, and I restarted in the safe mode, which disables third party apps, and I was like, oh, the Uber app is still installed. Okay, that's an app that I regularly use. I would have installed anyway, but AT&T has a deal with Uber to have Uber installed. So, you know, I didn't even think of it as whether or not it was pre-installed. It's just an app that I use.
But I mentioned this back when that deal happened because I didn't yet have Uber here in Pensacola. So think of all the locations that don't have Uber that have AT&T phones. So in that case, it's definitely bloatware.
Yep. Right. It's all about whether you would use it or not. I don't think you can blanket it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not incorrect to call something like that bloatware. I just don't necessarily think it's fair. I think. Maybe. It's interesting, you know, interesting discussion. I think we're almost done. Can I get through the whole list before I have to take a breath? How about I'm starting to run out now? Couldn't make it.
Man, I wanted to shake you.
I didn't even take a deep breath before then. Phil started to answer this question a few weeks ago, but got sidetracked. I don't know how that possibly happened. Hey, look at that over there. He wanted to know about lower thirds down here in the video. Those are just PNGs.
And you used Hangout Toolbox.
Yeah.
This is an extension you can have in Hangouts.
Yeah, they're PNGs loaded through Hangout Toolbox. They look really nice.
I took a tiny magic marker and drew it on my camera.
I forget what I was playing once.
Could draw it on your camera backwards.
I was playing some game, maybe on an Xbox or something. I forget what it was. I went so far as to put like plastic wrap on my TV and then draw where I needed to jump or do something.
Scotch tape with a red dot in the middle of my screen anytime I play a first-person shooter. Heck yeah. Don't get in front of me.
You know what I've been playing for the past 2 days? It's been a long time since I stayed up way too late and drained the battery on a tablet, but Limbo has totally done that for me. Love that game. Best $5 I've spent all week.
Limbo is good times.
I even skipped my daily coffee a couple days this week just to, you know, pay for that real quick.
I wish that it was on Android TV.
It has to come to Android TV. It has to.
The anyone who has played that on a television, like playing it on a phone or a tablet is fun, But you turn the lights out in your living room, the volume up on your speakers, and you play that creepy, creepy game on a television.
How old do you think the kid is in that game? I picture him as like a, you know, 11-year-old boy.
Yeah, I was going to say between like 7 and like 13.
And then his head gets cut off or he loses a leg. And
gets impaled by a spider.
Yeah, I feel bad about it.
Commercial.
I was able to take his head off a couple times. It's pretty bad. It is such a good game, though. If you haven't tried it yet, absolutely go do it. In fact, you should tell them Android Central sent you if you rate it. That'd be fun. Nah, don't spam their ratings. But such a good game. Best $5 I've spent all week. I was pretty stoked. All right, anything else, or should we call it a day?
This Dell tablet's weird.
Yeah, it is.
That's I could have told you that.
I already told you that.
I did this, though.
Oh, man. I don't think I have any emails. I'll flip through real quick. Yeah, we're going to talk some more about Android Auto soon. I need to get a friend of ours on here. Maybe I'll try to do that for that week that I'm traveling.
Phil, buy me a new Audi. I'll talk about it all you want.
All right, if you want to email us, do it at podcast@androidcentral.com. Go find us on all the social things. Android Central is the main site. Go subscribe to this YouTube channel if you were watching this. If you're still here after all this, that's pretty awesome. There are a lot of people who are. Instagram, Facebook, what else? Twitters, Google+. Should we let app.net die?
Yes.
It wasn't already?
I think it still had my credit card number.
Good Lord. People would be better off just coming to my house and sitting in my backyard with me.
You'd have a higher active user count.
Oh, I meant to mention... I tried using Snapchat again this week. I still don't really get it, and I think it's a horrible user experience.
I don't think that's going to change. The UI is atrocious.
The UI is just atrocious, but the reason I did it is because people kept asking about data usage, especially after this Discovery's things, and they're using like a quarter gig or half a gig. Yes, it's downloading things in the background, and apparently it doesn't have an option to only use Wi-Fi, which is just bad.
I'm not shocked.
Is it downloading or uploading?
I think these are downloads.
I mean, I just think it's with their... You're not getting individual pictures anymore. You're getting these collections or stories or whatever they're called, and you're caching them all in the background, so they're ready to go. You know, Instagram and Facebook have big background data allotments if you don't turn off all this background preloading of 10, 15, 30 second videos.
And I don't care about things, you know, doing it in the background. Just do it on Wi-Fi.
You're probably opted in somewhere.
In fact, yeah, I turn it, there's that, you can go into the data usage thing and tell it not to, you know, restrict background data, disable background data on mobile data network. Only Wi-Fi will be used as if available. I mean, that should be an option in the app, period. Yep. As he runs,
you can also just not use Snapchat would be a great choice.
Yeah, but that's not a good answer because people use Snapchat. In fact, I need to go back and see if it's an option on AC. It was going to be. I'm not sure we ever added that in, actually. So that'll definitely be in the next version.
It's the reason they put that in the system.
Hit the brakes. Hit the brakes.
Yeah.
On AC, in a busy month, you're downloading 200 megabytes of thumbnail images.
Yeah, it definitely...
Snapchat, you're downloading a gigabytes worth of videos a day.
Definitely a different scenario. All right, that's it. We will be back next week on Wi-Fi and mobile. Bzz, bzz. Jerry, Alex, Andrew, Russell. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Wait, is that a game controller I see in Russell's hand?
It is. I found my PS4 controller.
Dude, I'm out of here.
All right. Girls, have a fun weekend. Everybody at home, have a fun weekend. See y'all next week.
Bye.
See you later.
Adios.
This outstanding episode of the Android Central Podcast was brought to you by Igloo. Give your employees a company internet they'll actually want to use. Try it for free at igloosoftware.com/android.